Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome to Football and Feelings, the podcast that shows a deeper side to the fans, creators, anyone with an affiliation with the beautiful game. You've joined me for an audio exclusive episode today. We're going to be doing the three key questions. One's football related, one's hypothetical, and one is deep and personal. And for that, again, I'm joined by Alfie Macken. Hello, mate.
Hello, mate. Thanks for having me back.
Pleasure. It's been a long time since I saw you.
Yeah, only
10
a
minutes
few
ago.
Minutes,
but, there's a little glimmer behind the curtain there.
Yeah, exactly.
Alfie, I wanted to ask you. Tell me about radio presenting, because you do some of that, and it's something I've always been interested in. How did you sort of get into that?
Yeah, so funnily enough, it was actually my mum. It was a few years ago, and she was like, you know, they do like there's a radio station at hospital, like hospital radio. And I was like, yeah. What? And I thought it was just a case of, you know, going up there and like sticking your phone in to an aux and then playing some songs over the speakers or whatever. Yeah. But it's not. It's a full shebang radio station.
Nice.
And it was only until like June, May last year that I applied for it. And it's basically just volunteering. I don't get paid for anything. But yeah, I'm currently a radio presenter for hospital radio from where I live.
Nice. A lot of people go through that route, don't they? Like to become a presenter. Like so many people.
Yeah.
Like people I've had on this podcast, like Max Fosh, Richie Driss. I think he did something similar.
He's got a voice for it, Max Fosh. He's got a voice for it, hasn't he? He's got the radio voice. Yeah.
What do you think makes a good presenter on radio?
I think you've got to have. Thing is, right? It is the voice is very important. I think you need to, but. Not only that, you need to be like, you need to try and make people think about what you might be like in real life. You've got to try and portray yourself as someone who is like off the radio, interesting, and you want to talk to them and stuff like that. You've got to be somewhat a character, but you've got to be real at the same time.
Yeah.
You can't be too overdramatic, I think.
Yeah, but that's one thing. When you listen to like a lot of local radio stations, sometimes you can hear them trying a little bit too hard. And they're like, oh, bloody hell, what are kids like, eh? Anyway, give us a text on 227-228. Let us know, how do your kids annoy you?
Yeah, literally. That is literally it. But I like BBC Radio 1 Extra. I think one of the presenters called Nadia J. And she speaks as she is in real life. And that's what I like, I think. So that's one of my favorite stations.
Do you have like restrictions on what you can play like song wise in a hospital?
You obviously can't have songs with swearing, as I think a lot of radio stations are. Well, most radio stations are like that. But like you've got to think about the demographic of who you could be playing to. So obviously, hospital normally you're playing to older generations and stuff. So you need to try and keep it like the music. In relation to where they are from and like what they enjoy.
Yeah.
So but luckily for me, I do like older music. Like I like 60s, 70s, 80s, like kind of rock bands like the Rolling Stones, Beatles, etc. So it's all right. But no, I do get the opportunity to play modern songs, and songs are in the charts as well. So it's quite a nice balance.
Yeah, do you have any like interaction with the patients at all, or are you sort of locked away?
Well, the studio is on hospital grounds, so it's just off from the main like building, what have you. So, but no, we do. That's what we kind of aim for, because the hospital radio is meant to be for the patient. We're actually looking at becoming a going to DAB, I think it is. So we'll be broadcasted into like people's cars and stuff, like a bit more, not just the hospital. You can we kind of like base our show on requests. So we love to get requests in, and to do that, you do like ward runs, go up on the wards, obviously not at the moment, but we try and get people to call up from their hospital phone. So if they want a song played, they just call me up. I pick up the phone and then just put it into my rundown and then go, oh, this is for Steve up on like Ward D. this is for you and stuff like that. So yeah, we do have quite a good bit of interaction with the patients.
Class, these are reason. Right, anyway, sorry, let's enough about you.
Selfish, arrogant.
Let's move on to the football question for this episode. I want us to go
No one
through...
cares about what you have to say, Alfie. No one cares. No one cares.
Of course I do. That's why I asked. I want to do our dream seven-a-side team. Now, this can be past or present. Do you want to go first? Do you want to take the lead on this one?
Okay, so before I start, I haven't included either Messi or Ronaldo into mine.
Mm-hmm, same.
Now, I just feel like they're two options. Like, if you put them in, I feel it's just a waste because we know how good they are. We know that anyone would want to play with them. Yeah. So I've gone for a few other different options. I'm playing a 3-2-1, so with a goalkeeper and then three defenders, two midfield and one attacker. Because I feel like the one attacker I've put in stands out so much that he doesn't need a second pair, like a pair, like a partnership. So, starting at the back in goal, I've gone for Edwin van der Sar.
Oh, nice.
Now, I know people always, a lot of people I ask always go for Schmeichel over van der Sar. But for me, I know both goalkeepers won. I think Schmeichel was nearly like, I think he's like 36, 37 when they won the treble or something, which is mad impressive. But van der Sar for me was just a standout keeper. I used to, even though he's a Man United player, I used to love Van der Sar for some reason. And
yeah,
I used to have a Holland kit with his name on. Just to go on, I think he joined United from Fulham at like 35 or something, and then went on to win Premier Leagues, Champions Leagues, and stuff. And I know goalies can go on a bit more, but that's my reason. He was just, I don't know, my favourite keeper. So he's going in net. Back three. I've gone for three centre-halves instead of full-backs, just because I do appreciate full-backs such as Roberto Carlos, Zanetti, etc. But I feel like a three at the back is more appropriate for this. So I've gone for Sergio Ramos. I think that goes without saying, just because he is Real Madrid now. He is the face of Real Madrid. He has scored over 100 goals from centre-back. Ridiculous. He's won five or six Champions Leagues, I think it is, La Ligas, World Cup, Euro. I think it'd be silly to leave him out. I think he's one of the best centre-backs of all time, and he still isn't done yet. Next to him is JT, gone for John Terry.
Nice.
Rock solid, classic English centre-back. Won everything at club level. Unfortunately, not at international level, which is a shame, because I do feel he deserves better. But I think it's based on longevity as well, how long he went for and maintaining that. I was very close to putting Tony Adams in ahead of him, very, very close. But I've kind of done players that are more around my era that I've watched. Yeah. Like, I'm not putting in Pelé, Eusebio, Cruyff, because even though I know how good they were, I didn't watch them. They weren't part of my generation. Mm-hmm. And the last but not least, I put Virgil van Dijk in. Because I'm biased, but it's also the fact that he is probably, ability-wise, the greatest centre-back in Premier League history. I know he hasn't got the stats that everyone else does, but just in terms of ability and talent, Virgil van Dijk, I think, is the best centre-back.
Nice.
How are you feeling about my defence?
I think it's a very solid defence. I don't think many people are getting past you. I'm surprised you've gone with three defenders, but we'll come on to that. Finish it, do your lineup, then I'll think of some concluding comments.
Okay. We'll do subs, maybe. We'll do subs. So, midfield two, I've gone for Kevin De Bruyne, arguably probably the best midfielder on the planet at the moment, and I just love watching him play. He is just a joy to watch. And
yeah, it looks so easy.
That is literally it. He makes it look so easy. He makes you think that you go, oh, I could do that, but you can't.
Yeah.
That's how good he is. He makes you think you could do it, but you couldn't. And next to him, I've gone for Zinedine Zidane. My probably my second favorite player of all time. Just class, the control, like the relationship with the ball, the composure, the just the balls that man had to do some things. That chip in that World Cup final, that volley in the Champions League final, just unbelievable. So yeah, they're my midfield two, and then just in front of them, probably in my opinion, the best striker of all time. I've gone for R9 Ronaldo, Brazilian Ronaldo. Both footed, two footed, fast, eye for goal, skill, arrogance, just everything. Everything you'd want in a striker, he had it.
Yeah, I was doing the maths. That is seven, isn't it? That's a mega squad. I'd imagine turning up to your fucking local seven-a-side pitch if you're playing against them.
You've got some stinky bibs on and they've just like turned up with these lot.
Yeah, that is very good. I am very surprised though. You've gone with three centre-backs because I've only gone for one. I've gone for one centre-back. And in hindsight, if my team's playing against yours with three, we're going to need the attackers.
Well, that works out then. That actually works out quite nicely. Well, I didn't know which formation you were going with. And I was just, I was like, maybe build up from the back. And that's why I didn't have more than one striker, because I just think R9 Ronaldo could do it on his own.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. Were there any like close calls, anyone that would definitely be on the bench?
Kaká for me.
Nice.
Kaká, yeah. Iron Robin. I love Iron Robin. Just that, the cutting in on the left foot, just it's brilliant.
Textbook Robin, yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking of like, I wasn't thinking of like Gerrard or Lampard because I don't think they fit the, like, defenders, I don't think, for seven-a-side doesn't really matter because a defender can just defend. But I think for a seven-a-side, you want some like agile, like nimble, skillful players. So that's why I left like Gerrard and Lampard out. So yeah, anyone like Kaká, Pirlo, anyone like that, yeah, they'd be on my bench instantly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you there. You need the agility in there. And that's I'll go into my team now. That sort of leads me on to my goalkeeper. I've gone for a man with cat-like reflexes. I was thinking of maybe Cech or Buffon, but I think on seven aside, I think their height is just it doesn't not matter, but it's less important. I've gone for Iker Casillas. I idolized this man when I was younger. I had the same gloves as him when I used to play in goal. Even though, like I said, he's shorter than some of those incredible players, for him to have the career that he had whilst having that slight disadvantage, he was cat-like. What an incredible bloke. Yeah, he was my second
behind Van der Sar. Yeah, the guy's won everything. Yeah. Club level, international level.
He has.
Amazing.
Yeah, he's very well decorated. It's a shame, really, that he didn't get a very good send-off from Real Madrid. I think, if I remember rightly, he sort of fell out with the board at the time. And
that is a shame. Yeah, club captain as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And in defence, I'm still sort of just can't decide between two. Okay, I'll tell you the both of them, then I'll select. I'm thinking Rio Ferdinand or Sergio Ramos. Because Rio Ferdinand, I think his ability on the ball is a little bit underrated. I don't think he gets as much credit for scooping it up and then moving forward with it. But then Sergio Ramos is just an animal.
Again, I put Rio Ferdinand was one of my backups centre-backs. And the reason why Ramos goes in ahead is just because the amount of goals and stuff like that. Like, it's ridiculous for a centre-back to have, I think, nearly 150 goals. I know he doesn't play in the the top division. Like, during his time, the Spanish league was kind of seen as like a joke division.
Yeah.
Obviously, just two teams going out all the time. But he's done it in Champions Leagues and everything like that. So, yeah, that's why he was in for me.
Yeah, true. Right, actually, for that reason, then, I'm going to stick Rio in there because I'm only playing one at the back. So I need someone who's going to stay back. I'm not asked about getting goals there. But just in front of him...
Makes sense.
I'm going to have Patrick Riera because he's just going to body people. I think he's
going to
be gliding through
players.
The play, watching him do just go from the whole length of the pitch. sort of just making it look like he's on a 7-a-side pitch at 11-a-side.
Literally, Pete, the opposition might as well have just stepped aside and just started clapping, just going, honestly, just you're going to go for anyway. You're 6'4", you're massive, you're fast. Just go ahead, just go.
Exactly. So I'm going to have him there in front, but I trust him to drop back if need be next to Rio. And then alongside Patrick Vieira, I was going to say Fabregas, but I've actually not put him in. This might be a bit of a surprising one. I've gone for Santi Cazorla.
Okay.
Because I've got a very tall team here, and he's a short, two-footed magician who can, I don't know, he can weave in and out of players quite easily, and he can find pockets of space to receive the ball and then move. Like, he will find space anywhere in a cardboard box. He will find space to give it and receive.
He was an overshadowed player in the Premier League, overshadowed by a worse team around him, and just at the time, the likes of United, etc., being miles above. But yeah, I agree. Like, such an underrated player. Such an underrated player.
Yeah,
he could have been David Silva. He could have been a David Silva.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair to say. And like, a shame that injury sort of tarnished his career a little bit. And he got lucky though towards the now. I know he's still playing. I think is it Villarreal or Valencia? I think it's Villarreal. At one point, he was having surgery, and they thought he might not even be able to walk again. And he came back and bossed it in the Liga and got back into the Spain squad.
I remember that. Yeah.
Joke player. But then just in front of him, I'm going to put this player on the right, or maybe on the left. I'm not sure. I'm going to have two sort of cams in there. Similar to you, I've gone with Zidane. Just in case things kick off, you know, we need a headbutt. He's going to be in there. He's going to back everyone up.
Matarazzi comes in.
Exactly.
With his shoulders hence.
Exactly. Zidane, what did you say about my sister? Bosh.
Bang.
Exactly. But just like, he's a magician, and he makes football look like art, like the best players do.
Literally.
On the other side.
Like a painter.
Just like a painter, yeah. On the other side, as you know, 7-a-side, it's a compact pitch. We're going to see some old school skills from Ronaldinho, the old school Jogger Benito.
I was waiting for you to finish your team, because I was like, there's one man that I've been waiting to say that is literally first reserve and... Yeah, that. Oh, wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Yeah, bloke was a joke. He was one player I remember on last year's FIFA, I made my player look like him on pro clubs because I felt like my player would play better. He'd play like Ronaldinho. Didn't happen, but still.
The thought was there. It's fine.
Yeah, was there. And then up top, a player that can hold his own because he's got the strength to hold a defender off, but will also finish it from anywhere, is Thierry Henry. Zidane, Ronaldinho, Thierry Henry. That's gonna be an absolute madness.
It's a fearsome attack. It's a very fearsome attack.
It is, yeah. What team do you think's winning then? Out of R2, are they gonna counteract each other, do you think?
Mine sounds so boring now. Mine sounds so defensive now. I know I've got some class centre backs in there, but I think if Ronaldinho, Thierry Henry, and the likes of Vieira behind them is running at me, I don't think I've got a good chance.
I don't know. Maybe. I feel like you'd be catching a goal on the break. I reckon that's what you're
saying. It's
going to
be a long ball. Yeah. I don't think you can do long ball in a 7-a-side, but I think that's what my team sounds like. I hate playing a long ball as well. There's nothing in there. I like building up from the back and stuff like that. So yes, I think yours would win though. I do think yours would win.
See, maybe we can test it one day, get them into the cage. Do you play 7-a-side?
No, I used to. I play Sunday League, though. I play 11-a-sides. I used to hate 7-a-side. It's just thugs wanting to snap you in half. That's literally my experience.
See, that's what I think about 11-a-side. I feel like I prefer sevens. It's like arcade version.
Oh, yeah, it's the same thing, but you've got more space. No, it's all right. On a Sunday league, I love a tackle, I do, especially on grass. Just, I'm not slugged on Astro because your skin will just go.
That is true. Yeah, it's true. Yeah, I suppose you can avoid some of the bigotry when you're on an over-the-side pitch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Do you remember Masters football?
Oh, bring it back now. Bring it back now.
Honestly,
Saturday morning,
class.
Before all the other games, sitting there with my toast and my cereal watching... Masters football, brilliant.
It was like retired footballers' European Super League.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was a class idea. I don't know why they ever got rid of it. It's absolutely brilliant.
Anyway, that's our football question, done and dusted there. I want to move on to, I guess this is this the deep one or the hyper? Yeah, this is the deep question now. We'll do that first.
The deep question.
The deep question. So I want to see, have you ever conquered a fear?
This, I was actually speaking about this with my mate, because I was like, I've never really had like fears. Like, I don't have vertigo. I'm not scared of like spiders or snakes or anything like that. But I mean, like, spiders freak me out, but I'm not like terrified of them. But I know a lot of people I know, their fear is like socializing, scared to talk to people. But I've never been like that. So I'm just trying to figure out what I've actually conquered. I can look back and go, yeah, I took on a fear and I beat it. I think this is going to sound so boring. Independence for me, being like taking like my own steps, if you know what I mean, not having like help, like wanting to do something off my own back. Like, yeah. I was always scared to like put myself forward for things. I was always the one that like probably wait to get picked, if you know what I mean. So yeah, to put that into like an actual experience that's actually like happened will probably be when I moved to Australia. Like, I didn't know what I wanted to do and I was kind of scared because I was like, oh god. And I think taking that step to be more independent and taking more responsibility for myself and being more mature, I think that's kind of what I think I did by conquering a fear, if you know what I mean.
It takes balls, doesn't it? Like, you have to like throw yourself out of your comfort zone to do it. How were you scared when you did that, go to Australia?
I was excited more than scared, but I was still in the back of my mind. I was on the plane. I'm like, my mum and dad aren't going to be on the other side of the airport. They're still in England. Like, you're on your own now. Like, this is your time to grow up and knuckle down and at the same time enjoy myself, obviously. But yeah, I think it was relieving though. It was something I needed to do because I feel like if I never did it, I would be stuck in a rut. So yeah, conquering that was good because yeah, I guess that was a fear. I was more scared of like failing myself, disappointing people. So I think I did the right thing by stepping up.
That's a good one. I sort of also struggle to think of, like, I don't have any massive things that I've been scared of. I used to have a mild fear of flying when I was young, but it was only brief because I was sick on a plane once when I was like 9 or 10, and I just associated that feeling with flying, even though I don't think it was that at all. But I've had many, I would have missed out on loads of like interesting life experiences if I didn't get over that tiny little fear of flying, because like fear is normal as well, right? Like, it's there to keep us safe and serves a purpose, but in this modern day it's not really that necessary, I guess.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, that's a completely like logical fear though, flying. I know loads of people that are scared of flying because it is quite daunting, because when you're on a plane you do think of the worst possible outcomes. You always do.
It doesn't feel natural to be fucking soaring through the air at whatever speed, so high as well. Like, everyone always throws it around, like, oh, it's the safest form of travel. I was like, yes, but
statistically it is.
Yeah, exactly. But if anything goes wrong, then your chance of survival is probably quite a lot lower.
Yeah, it's like this 200-ton whatever metal bird is flying through the air, taking me across. Literally, why is this happening? Like, how is this happening?
Although, actually, I do have a bit of a fear of blood, like other people's blood.
Oh, okay.
It's not massive, but it makes my, I don't know if you ever experienced this, it makes my like skin feel weird. Like, my arms go a bit like jelly. It's like there's an itch
like
under
that.
My
you
skin.
Like, you tuck your shoulders in and you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
cringing.
Yeah. I can almost feel like something's dripping on my arms.
Oh, yeah. No, I know what you mean. Like, I think there's people at school that I cut myself once and someone fainted. They like passed out in the classroom. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, quite a lot of people get that, I think. Is there anything that you're not doing right now in life because like you're a bit scared? It could be big or small.
Anything I'm not doing right now, then?
Tricky one, right?
No, I don't think there is. There's things I want to do, but no, I'm not like scared of them or anything like that. I don't know. Don't think so.
Yeah. So, yeah, I thought I'd throw it in there. I'm a bit scared of playing football again because I fucked up my ankle quite badly last summer and I thought it would be all right by now and that I'd avoid surgery. But like it's weird because I need to put more weight on it and to run more on it, but it's high risk and not massively high rewards every time, if you know what I mean. Like it's fine for me now in day to day, but if I want to play football again, I need to like to push the boundaries out. And it's a shame because I miss playing football.
Yeah, man, injuries are the worst. I've been injured for like a few months before and just not playing football is one of the worst. Even going out and kicking the ball around with your mate, like mates. I hate that. I hate it.
Yeah, agreed. Anyway, let's move on to the hypothetical question to round this episode off. I think this is quite a funny one in my opinion. I heard this on another podcast, on a comedy podcast, I think it was. Would you take £10 million or dollars, or let's do pounds, but for the rest of your life, there's a snail that's trying to get you and you can't ever be touched by it. Otherwise, you'll die if this snail touches you. It's this magical demon snail. But there are some rules that I'll put out. This snail, it can board a plane and other transport. So you can't just fly to the other side of the world and relax because that snail will be on a plane to your nearest location on the next flight.
Right.
It cannot be killed and it cannot be trapped in a box or something like that. It needs to have a way out to try and follow you. So, go on. You go for it.
Okay, so let's say I flew to Australia. I lived in Australia, right? And that snail comes across and follows me. When that snail is on land, it's still its normal speed.
Yeah.
It can't, but can it, like, let's say I go to a house, can it hop in a taxi? Or does it, once it gets off that plane, it has to like slide along or however
it moves?
That's
a good point. That's a really good point.
Because if it's hopping in cars and stuff, then that's quite creepy because you'll see this taxi arrive, this snail get out. And even though you still have a long time to think about moving on, I don't know. I think I would take the 10 mil.
Yeah?
I think I would. You know what? Yeah, I'd take it. I'd risk it. I think it would be a laugh as well. Just having been chased by a snail.
I'm undecided because I think it would send you insane. Like imagine never being able to fully relax. This snail will be on your mind day and night. Because it can kill you.
The creepy bit is the sleeping bit. Like, even if you have your door... Like, what if I have my door closed and it can't fit under? Like, does it just wait outside?
Well, yeah, then it will wait outside if it can't get through. But you can't, like... You can't then go put a box over the top of it to keep it there.
The only time would be if you're sleeping. Because even if you're awake, even that if that snail is a meter in front of you, you just walk back another meter and then you saved yourself another half an hour of life.
Yeah, it's true. That's true. I think you would actually maybe. I think I'd take
the 10 mil. I'd take the 10 mil. I'd risk
it. It's a tricky one, isn't it? Also, I don't think anyone would believe you. Like, if you were telling people, there's a snail chasing me, man. I've got to go. I've got to dash. I was like, what? What are you on about?
What are you talking about? You're mental. But I've got 10 million quid, so there you go. Where you got that from? A wizard gave it to me. So that if I don't get caught by this snail, I can keep it. Well, yeah, I can keep my life as well.
Gave me some magic beans after that. All believable. Yeah, I think it's too much of a sum to turn down. Maybe you could like build a maze. I don't know if that counts as trapping it. If you built like a maze with an open end for it to try and find, then if there were two open ends, then that way you could sort of stay in the same place. The two open ends, when it gets close to the other end, you open up the other one and close that end. So that way it's never technically trapped because it can get out, but it just...
That just sounds like a lot of hassle. And I don't think I would have any time to spend my 10 mil.
Mate, for 10 mil, you pay someone else to do it.
Good point.
But mate, come on, sort me one of those classic snail mazes out, would you, boy?
Yeah, you know, I think they see them in the brochure at Argos. Yeah, I've seen them before.
What if it was like a slightly faster animal? Let's say like a walking piglet.
A cheetah.
low chance. Yeah, well, let's say a walking piglet. That's all. I don't know what speed that is, but yeah. A slow walking dog.
Oh,
I don't think it'd be worth it.
No, no, it's not worth it. No, a snail, that's a completely different ballpark. It's a completely different ballpark. I mean, snail to a dog. Yeah, no. I think if it was a piglet, I think I'd can I be like, can I have the piglet? I'd love a little piglet running about.
No, if it touches you, it dies. You die.
Yeah, but no, I don't take the money. I could take the piglet instead.
Okay, all right. I don't know if anyone's ever answered that question like that.
they keep the 10 mil, but I get the piglet without its demonic powers. There you go.
Okay, fair enough. There's a loophole there, and you found it. Think of, if you had the 10 mil, though, think of how many piglets you could buy.
That's a good point. That's a good, and they come in many forms, like smoked, streaky. How else? For all the vegetarians and vegans out there, I'm sorry.
Yeah, apologies. How would you spend that amount of money? How would you spend 10 mil?
I wouldn't. Everyone's always thought about. I think everyone on this planet has thought about having like won the jackpot lottery or something.
Yeah.
And I honestly don't think it'd go to my head. I honestly don't think it would. Like, I wouldn't be all flash. Like, you treat yourself and stuff. I wouldn't be all flash. I wouldn't go buy some like 10-bed house in like the Maldives or something. Like, you treat yourself, obviously. But I think I'd want to be smart about it. I'd want to invest and keep that money safe and build it. But whilst, you know, helping out friends and family as well. Yeah, that's what I'd do. I'd send my mum and dad on holiday, send my sister wherever she wants to go, you know, help my nan and granddad out, cousins, etc. But yeah, I think I'd do, yeah, something a bit more selfless.
Yeah, same here. I don't think it would go to my head completely. I would buy loads of, I'd buy like a few livable properties and then a few rental properties, just so you've got that secured. It's in the bag. Being a bit sensible with it, maybe a nice apartment like, in London. I feel like that's London's be nice. Like one of the best places to live if you have the money to do it well. I think if you can live in a nice area, maybe a villa in Spain as well.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's like maybe like buy some like rundown properties and then redevelop them. You know, refurbish them, sell them on, stuff like that. I'd do property.
Nice. Alfie Mackin's Home Under the Hammers.
What a show. What an elite show.
Massive show. Right, Alfie, we've gone through, this episode's gone really quick, but it's a bit longer than the last one. We've gone through the three questions. Do you have any concluding comments or admin?
Just thanks for having me on. Sorry if I've rambled at any point. Hope no, everyone fine. Who's listening enjoyed listening to my voice. Just thanks for having me on, mate. It's been an absolute pleasure.
No, pleasure is mine, sir. And that is it. An audio exclusive episode, done and dusted once again. If you've enjoyed it, then click subscribe or follow, or maybe leave a 5-star rating if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. But that's all for now. Take care and see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.